What kind of advice do you have for younger individuals that want to pursue a career in GRC?
What advice? I would say don't be picky with your first job. Kind of going back to my theme, I didn't really have an opinion on an IT audit when the job was in front of me. I just thought it'd be a cool experience to learn. And that's why I took it. I think some areas of GRC obviously are more exciting than others in terms of people, you know, when people are searching for job roles, like they don't think of audit. Like you said, like audit doesn't sound sexy. Why would I want to do audit? We're proof that it could be a very good path into cybersecurity. The key is learning and having experience and building off of that experience. It's not going to happen overnight. I mean, I've been in GRC for probably almost 15 years now, right? And I probably didn't start like really getting good at it till like 5 or 6 years ago. Unfortunately, that's kind of how it works. But if you have patience and you're willing to learn, just take any job in GRC to start off. Like, you got to start somewhere. Don't try to find the perfect job. Just start.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Paramify podcast. I'm your host, Kenny Scott. On today's show, we have the privilege to hear from Troy Fine, a veteran in the governance, risk, and compliance space. He's got a great following on LinkedIn, and he consistently offers insights drawing from his years of experience, both as an auditor and as a consultant. And his meme game is really strong. We love following Troy, and we're so glad to have him. Troy, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kenny. Looking forward to it. Hopefully, you know, the fans love the memes. Hopefully they don't offend too many people too many times. But the memes is what drives engagement. So
you gotta offend people sometimes, otherwise you don't, you know, you
it's true. It's not working if you don't offend people, right?
Yeah, you can't be all things to all people. Hey, so Troy, let's get into it. So when you were a young pup, were you dreaming of becoming a GRC professional, you know, when you're playing, you know, soccer or football or baseball or whatever you're doing? Like,
I was playing a lot of sports.
Nice.
Yeah. Was I dreaming of becoming a GRC professional? No. I'd never dreamed of becoming a GRC or, you know, when I was growing up, I'm not even sure, like, cybersecurity was even like a word yet. I don't even know. I feel like the first time I heard the word cybersecurity was like in college or after college, which was like 2005 to 2009. I went to college. So I think the first time I really got interested was probably, which breach was it? I think like TJ Maxx had like a big credit card breach in right. mid-2000s, maybe later after that. It's probably when I started paying attention to it, and probably that was probably like the biggest like data breach at the time, and people started paying attention. And then, you know, you had the Target breach also as well. That was like a HVAC vendor. So I never really planned this at all. When I was in college, I did accounting and IT. I don't know why, but you know, they were two different worlds. But that's how I kind of operated my life. I was like, you know what? Whatever, it's going to diversify your knowledge, right? Give yourself choices when you get out of school. So I did both. I wanted to know business, so I did accounting, and I wanted to know IT. Maybe it was an intuition, I don't know, but obviously not common things to major in, right? They're pretty different.
Yeah.
And did both of those. And I did another job as a consultant, IT consultant after college for about a year and a half. And then after that, there was this opportunity for a job at a CPA firm called an IT auditor. I had never heard of IT auditing, never heard of Sarbanes-Oxley, but that's what the job description was going to be, like testing Sarbanes-Oxley controls. I was young, you know, 2 years after school, after college, and whatever. I was like, I'll take a chance. I'm not going to be picky here. And so I took the job because I thought it'd be good, you know, to work at an accounting firm, having like that audit background from school, and then having the IT, I thought this could be a good fit. So I did the interview, got the job, started working at an audit firm working on public companies, and we were helping them comply with Sarbanes-Oxley. If you're not familiar with Sarbanes-Oxley, it's a law that came into effect after Enron, the big debacle in Enron. They came out with, okay, well, this is not good. So we're going to force people to have to go under internal control audits to make sure they have good financial controls. And on top of that, they have to have good IT controls. So that's what these accounting firms started doing. They started helping public companies do this. So we were like outsourced internal audit. Did that for a while. And then heard about SOC 2, SOC 1. You know, we were starting to do SOC 1 and SOC 2 audits. Seemed like a cool security audit at the time to get into. There weren't many out there. So I started just doing all that, reading everything I could about how do you do a SOC 2 audit. And from SOC 2, when you had to do SOC 2, they were security audits. So if you're doing security audits, you got to know security. So I started teaching myself security, and we started auditing a lot of SaaS companies, cloud companies that were hosted on AWS, Azure, GCP. So I had to start teaching myself cloud security and figuring all that out while I was doing these audits. So none of this was planned, I guess is the theme of here. I didn't dream about it. I just naturally saw opportunities. And I ended up really enjoying doing GRC and auditing. And my path into GRC and cybersecurity was auditing. Obviously, that's not the same path that everyone takes, but it's a path I took, but I didn't know I was on the path, right? I was just interested in learning, really. And that's what led me to all this. So that's how I got started, but it was definitely not a dream of mine, and I did not plan for it. I was college even, or growing up. So
yeah, when I did similar. I started like 17 years ago. I took a job at PwC, and I'm like, I guess I'll do it as an IT auditor, same as you.
Right.
No one ever, no one ever asked me, hey, Kenny, hey, how do I get your job? You know, like,
well, that's the thing. Like,
right.
There weren't many people applying to these jobs. Right. So it was like, you're doing something that nobody wants to do. And if you're good at it, then you become a valuable asset to
100%. 100%.
That was kind of it, right? Like, it wasn't hard to get an IT audit job in 2011 or 2010 because it wasn't that popular of a job to apply for. And it was hard to find good candidates. So,
your demeanor, oh my gosh, it reminds me of like my coaches. Your demeanor, Troy, is the coaches that I had at PwC, a very similar thread. One of the things that I'm seeing in you is this kind of a lifelong learner, knowledge pig type thing. You're just kind of sucking up just information all the time and trying to make sense of it, because a lot of what cyber is, it's just a subcomponent of risk management. When you really get down to it, whether you're looking at fraud risk with Sarbanes-Oxley and other things, right? You're planning, you're assessing, and you're reporting, and you're trying to help the business make really good decisions. So you're currently a senior advisor at Giles Norton, and you advise companies mostly on data security compliance. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have an advisory piece, but essentially we are a CPA firm right at our core. So our core service is SOC 2 audits. And then we also have consulting and advisory, where we can do anything GRC related, we'll call it, right?
All right.
You know, a lot of internal audit, right? So if you need internal audit for ISO 27001, we can do like consulting under like consulting standards and do that type of work. HIPAA is a big one. You know, all the compliance alphabet, right? Call it whatever you want to call it. But our main focus is auditing, and then advisory is just, you know, helping companies improve their GRC programs.
That's nice, because before you were with Drata, right? Where they're totally focused on how do we help people do the things? Like, how do we do it efficiently? How do we make it less of a roadblock? Despite all the efforts that you guys put into making it easy, what are the common challenges that you're seeing with high growth cloud technology companies that, like, when they're trying to achieve various compliance goals, be it, you know, HIPAA, SOC 2, whatever it is?
Yeah, I think the hardest challenge is understanding what to do. As simple as that sounds, I think compliance can be straightforward if you know where to start, if that makes sense.
Totally.
I think there's so much information out there. All you really have to do is read the source documents. But nobody really wants to read the source documents. So I think the biggest challenge is just having somebody internally that wants to own these processes, understands the requirements, wants to read the source documents, wants to keep learning about them. That's what I always find is the biggest challenge. It's just that there's so much information, like, oh, SOC 2, ISO 27001, trust services criteria for SOC 2, statement applicability for ISO. It's like a whole new language, mm-hmm. right? And if you just, if you don't know how to organize your thoughts, you don't know where to start, it can be very challenging, right? So you have to have a good starting point, and you need somebody to own it. So that's always the biggest thing, I think, is just that there's not somebody internally that wants to own these processes, or enjoys owning the processes, right? It usually becomes like a, hey, we have this, we're losing deals because we don't have SOC 2. All right, somebody randomly in engineering, how are we gonna do this, right? And then mm-hmm. they're tasked with trying to figure out auditing, you know, or compliance when their job is like engineering and they're not very excited about it. So mm-hmm. it becomes a struggle. So that's always the number one thing I think that people need to work to have in place is somebody that really wants to own it.
Yep, I agree. Risk management, cyber in particular, is usually at odds with roadmap because, you know, you don't see FIPS mode in an application. You know, you don't see it from performance. You see if it's broken, right? You see if someone didn't implement it right and like, hey, how come I can't log in? Oh, your cert, or, you know,
yeah.
you don't see those things. And so sometimes they can be like, oh, why do I need to do this in the first place? Is this so I can check the box? But they don't understand a lot of times how impactful simple things can be. And so when you're reading those source documents, no one wants to read those because there are a lot, right? There's the trust service criteria, there's HIPAA, and then you get into the world of FedRAMP and CMMC, and then it's a whole other level of pain. And PCI, you know, it's just intense, right? There's a lot. And in order to succeed there, you need to be able to understand the context of what's being asked of you. You need to understand what is the evidence specifically that I need to give to meet this requirement. And then finally, like reporting on it, you know, which for us took most of my time, you know, like was reporting on it, right?
Yeah,
and that's why
yeah.
I kind of started Paramify, right? So, in this cybersecurity field, it's always evolving. So you're reading the source documents because risks change.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you think have stayed the same since you got started? I don't know. And maybe what are the things that really are different? Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about that.
Yeah. What are some of the things that have stayed the same? Oh, that's a good question. I never really thought about that. I mean, I guess the idea of, I guess this is going to sound like, I don't know, controls, right? I think the idea is controls, right? Controls are always when it comes to compliance, at least security compliance, right? It's about controls and risk management, like you said, right? So you have risk, you need to implement controls to mitigate that risk, right? I think no matter what technology is out there, AI, blockchain, you know, whatever you can think of, right? It always comes down to like controls, right? And I think people like, you know, I don't care what technology you're using, right? You need to have good access control, right? That's been the same since the beginning of time, before there was computers, to getting into a, you know, getting into a building, access control to whatever new technologies are coming out tomorrow. That has stayed the same, right? So you need to understand what access control is. Might it take a different form with different technologies and how it works? Absolutely. But if you don't understand what access control, the purpose of it, or what risk it's trying to mitigate, you'll probably not understand what the purpose of what we're trying to do here in GRC, right? So I guess what I would say is like all that has always been the same. Those control families, those control areas, they're never going to change because that's just the foundation of security. So I don't know if that's a good answer, but
I think it's great. Yeah, access control, right? Like banks, you said like even before computers, well, there was like just a really crazy vault, right? That, you know, that had a key and like a sheriff mm-hmm. or some sort of security guard, right? Guarding everything. So yeah, it's always been access and then maybe changes, right? To those controls, right? Those access controls or whatever it is, changes to the things in there. To me, the same thing, I always go back to that, You know, if you can think about, you know, what are the resources that I have? What is the data I'm protecting, or the what are the assets that I'm protecting, or the valuables, and how do those protection mechanisms, how do they change over time, and how am I like just keeping track of what's different? That's always going to be the same, and it's just old wine, new bottles to me. Whenever I see some sort of new regime come out, it's really just important that you're grounded. And it to me, that's why I think IT audit is a great place to start in GRC, because you're not going straight into the, hey, is the firewall turned on? Hey, is multi-factor authentication? You're not looking for like, you know, specific evidences right off the bat. You're trying to think like, okay, let's back up. And audit really forces you to do that. Otherwise you look really dumb, right? If you go and you audit something that doesn't really even matter. I mean, I've been there. I was like, oh, check this out, right? I've built things that issue, you know, you find an issue and then you're like, oh my gosh, I found something. And then you send it up the chain and then the partner is like, Kenny, like, no one cares, right?
Yeah, this is immaterial, right? Materiality is very important, right, when it comes to auditing.
Yeah, but I was able to crack the Wi-Fi, and no one cares, right? It's pretty removed from financial statements, right?
Right.
Depends what you're looking at, right? So, So things do change though. You touched on a few of the things. AI. How do you keep yourself updated? So, like when chat came out, that obviously changed a lot of stuff for us. How do you keep up to date with that, and how do you make sure your teams are consistently learning? What do you do?
What do I do? I follow important people on LinkedIn.
That's awesome.
I think that's a really challenging thing to do, right? Maybe this is bad advice, right? I really try not to get like into every new thing that comes out right away. Right. I mean, like, I know AI is a big deal, obviously, and it's going to be like taking over our lives or whatever they want to say. But I try not to read about all the noise, because I think it becomes a big distraction, in my opinion. Right.
Filtering. Yeah.
Yeah. Like things are definitely changing. Right. And we need to understand how AI impacts our risk universe. Right. At a company. Right. That's a whole different type of risk. You have all these privacy risks with AI. You have these. If you're building AI tools, there's all these risks. But if I'm going to just use AI tools, what are the risks? So the risk universe definitely changes about it. But I think if you start trying to like figure out and read about all these things and do this, you kind of make it more complicated than it has to be, right? Sure. I mean, there are probably like 10 key risks, if you think about it from an AI perspective, that need to be considered, right, at a company. Maybe there's more that we're not thinking of, or there'll be more that, but you shouldn't try to like figure it all out at once, I guess, right? I think what people happens is like, everything's moving so fast, the speed of light, and when everything's changing, we feel like we can't keep up with it. But to me, I'm just like, well, okay, like AI, if I'm doing an AI audit, okay, what are the 10 key things we should do here, right?
Sure.
Maybe there's 30 key things we should be doing, but we need to crawl before we can run, right? So let's try to get these 10 things and build on it. If we try to do the 30, we're probably not going to do any of them because we're going to be overwhelmed, right? So I think it's really about just like breaking it down into bite-sized pieces, understanding what's important, and trying to crawl before we run. And I think that gets harder to do in this day and age, because you're inundated with information every single day. You feel like you're behind every single day. And it's just like, that's okay. Everybody's behind. Like, it's all, a lot of it's marketing. Like, don't pay attention to it. And just focus on this piece and build from that. And eventually you'll have built this in your mind, this mental picture in your mind, and you'll get it. Right. But it's not going to happen overnight, and don't try to do it overnight. So.
Well, that's awesome. Right. So no, that's good. Those 10 things, you don't have to recite all of them. I'm not,
like, I don't even know if I know them. Like,
But are they substantially different than, other, you know, technology risks, or in your view, or are they similar?
So I think if we take AI, for instance, if we're just talking security risks, they're probably not any different than any of the security risks we already have in place, right? I mean, if you think about it, if you're using an AI tool, you're giving them data. I mean, it's no different than using another third-party tool and giving them data. Mm-hmm. The difference is with AI is what are they doing with your data, right? So like a SaaS company that you just give data to, you know, 5 years ago was probably just storing your data and maybe analyzing it internally to try to figure out whatever they were trying to figure out to help service their customers better, figure out trends. But now when you start to use AI, you know, you start to get into like training the models, right? So how are you using my data to train these models, right? Like who's going to benefit from these? Is anybody going to see my data? It's a different risk because they're trying to use the data differently, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's great.
And then you get like transparency risk. Like, am I transparent with how, you know, I'm using my customers' data? Am I telling them everything, you know, that we're doing with their data from an AI perspective?
Great.
Are we separating the data when we're training it? You know, there's all these like with AI that's where the risks come in. If you're focusing on AI risk, but like security risk is probably no different than it's. Security risk is just a subset of AI risk in general. It's the way I look at it. So
I love it.
And which is a subset of risk management, which is what you pretty much said before, right? So it comes back to risk management. But
yeah. In particular, I mean, so I know you've got all the acronyms, right? You got your CISSP, you got your CISA. I think mine have lapsed almost. I think I still have a little bit more on CISSP. Mine have lapsed. But like you got your CPA, which for sure takes a bite out of your life. And it's like, unlike the others, you know, that I don't think that there's any comparison. It's not a cyber certification, but there's a lot about risk. And I think in my experience, a lot of cyber professionals overlook the bigger picture. They're always diving into, like you said, you got all this, like, let's go through every single thing with AI. So, but when I talk to CPAs, they're usually like, I don't know. Don't want to touch IT is typical, but they are very good at the bigger picture. And so how has the CPA aided you in your security career? If someone's like thinking about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think you kind of touched on it, right? I think having a CPA, I think it depends on the path you take with your CPA, right? I mean, if you're going to have a CPA and you focus on taxes, that probably won't help you in a cybersecurity career per se, right? But if you're a CPA and you're focusing on an audit pathway and you're doing financial audits, let's just say, which I never did financial audits in my life. I only did IT audit. But
catch your lucky stars.
At the end of the day, audit is about you're doing an audit and you're providing reasonable assurance that, you know, when you're doing a financial audit, that the financial statements are fairly presented, you know, and someone can rely on that data. And you're usually taking a risk-based approach to that audit, right? So you're not going to audit everything because it's reasonable assurance and nobody does that. But you need to understand where the risks is before you perform those audits, right? So you inherently have to be good at identifying risk in order to do a financial audit. Well, when you do a security audit, it's not really any different, right? Before you start an audit, and I think you touched on it before, you don't want to, you know, bring a finding that has no risk to it because that doesn't matter to anybody, right? So you learn this skill of like identifying risks and understanding where the risks are so that you can audit better, right? And I think when you think about GRC, governance, risk, and compliance, obviously risk is usually the foundation of all of this, right? You're not going to build controls that don't mitigate risk, right? That's a waste of money and that doesn't do anything. So if you have that ability to see the big picture, identify risks, understand how to quantify risks, then you could definitely take that with you into the cybersecurity world. That's what GRC is about, risk management. It's not about necessarily controls and just being good at, like, you know, hey, let me go hack into this company and let me do this. And then, you know, let's see what data I can get to. Yeah, that's an important skill. And that's one way to identify risk, right, to a company. But you need to understand the business side of it as well. So if you don't understand, you know, great, I got into this database and that database contains no sensitive data whatsoever. Well, what's the risk to the business even if somebody gets into that, right? It's probably small. So why are we spending time trying to protect it when our crown jewels are over here, right? So it's understanding the business, understanding the risks. If you have that, then you can translate that into cybersecurity. So I definitely think that's helped me in my career. I've always had a different perspective on all this. I've really been good at taking something that's very complicated and breaking it down into clear and concise or simple things, right? Like focus on,
totally,
keep it simple. And I guess as an auditor, when you're auditing something, you're kind of seeing it all. So you have to keep it simple naturally. Another skill that's kind of important. So it's definitely helped me. I don't know if I didn't plan on that, right? Like it just happened. So that's kind of the end of my career. Just like do it, experience it, and see where it goes. And do it while you're young, before you have other responsibilities.
Yeah. No substitute for experience. I mean, there's just none. Because when you do find those things, you're able to kind of keep a perspective, and when you're talking to your clients, it's really important to not make them overly worried and to keep things in perspective that, you know, this is not doomsday. Even things that seem bad, right? You got to make it so it's consumable and not overwhelming, because ultimately we want things to be done correctly, right? We want to make it easy for people to do the right thing. So I think I can't say enough, right? When you're looking at getting an advisor, experience matters. So throughout your career, Troy, could you share maybe one or two of the most challenging projects you've worked on and some of the key learnings from that experience?
Oh, a challenging project in my career.
Or we can go to straight up fails, right? some funny things that happen. We don't have to throw anyone under the bus, but those are always super fun to listen to. I have some fun ones.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one challenging, I do remember auditing a company. They were using SAP.
T-codes. Like, T-codes.
Yeah, T-codes, exactly. I couldn't even remember the term. That one, I was lost. That was probably not one of my better audits. But SAP is like a very, very complicated system to understand if you've never used it before. Totally. So when you're trying to audit it, you're supposed to be like an expert, right, in these systems, supposedly. So that one, if you ever have to audit SAP, that's a very challenging system to audit unless you've done
it
before or used it or understand the terminology. I feel like AWS is easier to figure out how to audit than SAP ever was.
I would agree.
We'll call it a fun experience, trying to learn SAP. But it was good. I mean, once you know this stuff, like, you have to kind of go through that stuff, right? So you learn SAP, and then the next time you do it, you pick up something else you didn't know. But that was a really challenging one.
SAP. Yeah.
Sounds like you've had a similar experience, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, what's great about the audit profession is when you don't know something, you have usually the cover of your team, so you don't have to shout from the rooftops what an ignoramus you are, right? And so you have your team that you can work with, and then often, you know, if you're good with relationships, you can work with, you know, whoever's on the business side that can kind of tell you about it. And you do also have, you know, it's their job to explain to you how to do it, so you just become kind of a professional interviewer and business intelligence house.
That is a good point.
Right. And so you're just learning how people do their job, right? from a controls perspective, which is just so awesome, right? I mean, it's not super exciting, but you do learn a lot. Right?
No, that's a good point, though. Like, I think that's what people don't understand about auditing. Like, you don't necessarily need to know, like, how to do what the person you're auditing, like you're interviewing, is doing, but you need to understand the right questions to ask to figure out what they're doing and translate that into work papers or documentation, understand the evidence to get. But you're right. You can kind of go in and they'll teach you naturally because they have to, right? It gives you the right to like ask dumb questions and they have to answer them because you're the auditor. So it is a really good way to learn, but you got to have the right personality, right? I mean, if you're somebody that just wants to, that doesn't like being put in those situations where you kind of have to like think on your feet, like in a conversation like this, if you don't enjoy like doing this type of banter or doing this type of things, being like in that situation where you have to interview somebody and you're not sure how the system works, you're not sure what questions to ask, you're not sure how to build that rapport, the auditing might not be the right fit, right? So I think if you have the right personality, though, it's a really good way to learn. I like that.
Agreed. Okay, man. So we got to look at some fails, right? Some hilarious control failures, or like, I don't know, man. I love those, right? Those are what we learn from the most, and sometimes they're pretty funny. In retrospect, they're not usually funny during the process.
For sure. Well, I do remember that my first week when I got the IT audit job, I remember talking with a colleague. Another team member was, and I had never done IT audit before, right? Like, so I had never done anything security related. And he asked me like what OSs I was familiar with. And he said OS, like I was supposed to know what like OS meant. Right, because you're an IT auditor, you've had a job before, right? Don't you know what OS means? And like, so I felt like I had to like know the answer, right? And I think I don't even know what I even said. I like said something that wasn't even anything to do with an operating system, and I don't know what the person thought of me. I don't know if they just like, I don't even remember what they responded with, but I for some reason this experience sticks in my head. And I tell people this experience because I want to show people that I really didn't know anything when I first started. I didn't even know that OS meant operating system when I first started in IT. Maybe I shouldn't have gotten the job. Maybe that should have been a question in the interview.
But it wasn't,
I guess,
important.
My point is, I learned, though, that, like, you know, you don't need to act like you know it all. Like, if I would have just said, what do you mean by OS? Oh, you said operating system, and I would have known, like, what was going on, right? But I tried to like, you know, be like, I knew what it was and I totally butchered it. And I guess I was afraid to ask a dumb question. I don't know. But that's, you know, I always tell people that story because I really didn't know what OS meant when I first started, which is like a very basic thing to know, right? Like OS, operating system. So,
yeah. No, I'm right there. I remember in the beginning, I've always been kind of a, you know, I can just talk forever. It probably drives people nuts. And now it does. So I'm a little more selective now after years of experience and, you know, marriage and all that stuff. So, I'll never forget. I was really working a lot and I was also kind of doing a startup on the side. So I was not sleeping very much. And I remember talking to one of my senior managers on the job, and he was pretty no nonsense type guy, and he asked me a question, and he's like, "Kenny, you're a nice guy, but when you talk, I feel like you don't know what you're talking about." He said to me, and I'm like, I started laughing so hard because like in his face, I was like, I know. Sorry. and he's like, "I don't know. Let's dive deeper." And he's like, "Okay." And he actually helped me right? Because he was trying to help me. He was kind of like the coach that I believe in you type person. You know what I mean? That's just kind of a punk, right? He was so good for me because that kind of like blunt, you know, feedback. I mean, I didn't really care too much. I didn't feel bad about myself because I knew I didn't know anything either, right? I was really spread thin and I knew I liked to learn, but, you know, whatever, right? That's so funny.
No, that's wow. Yeah. I'm not sure if I ever said that to anybody.
Yeah. But... yeah. He was blunt, man.
But I mean, it also taught me to like, I don't want to be in that situation ever again.
Right. Right.
So me neither. I'm going to learn. Right. And I'm going to be the one asking the questions like that. Right.
Yeah.
And I think from that point on, I just made it a mission just to keep learning. And like I said, that's what I think the key to GRC is. You just got to keep learning and reading.
I love it.
Eventually,
I love
just
it.
Remember it, I guess.
100%. Yeah. I mean, it's all knowledge is cumulative, right? Warren Buffett talks about this. Like, if you learn something somewhere, you know, it stays with you and you start to make those connections and then you can make things relatable. And that's, again, why experience is so important when you're planning risk assessment, when you're assessing and when you're reporting. I mean, there's no substitute for it. Again, shout to IT Audit as a career start. I mean, that's a lot of work that you typically, that's not typically a 9-to-5, right? There is typically a lot of work, really fast, really condensed. There's a busy season. And so, yeah. And they're always hiring. They're always looking for warm bodies.
Yeah.
Right? So
that's either you can do it at a public audit accounting firm, right? And do you know, the traditional auditing route, or even I always tell people like at like bigger public companies or bigger banks, like internal audit departments, right? I think that's another path that people don't think about. Internal audit always usually has a lot of, I usually say like at a big financial institution, they usually have really big internal audit departments just because obviously banks.
Yep.
American
Express, man. I loved it.
So like, it's not, I don't know if it'd make it a career to do that, like work at like, you know, an internal audit department, but it's a good starting point and you can learn a lot quickly and get exposed to different parts of the business. And again, once you understand like the foundation and can talk the talk during an interview, you can probably get other GRC roles.
Right. Right. I agree. I mean, I had that same thing. I mean, I did internal audit roles at, you know, at Google and at American Express and then Adobe. And then I shifted over to GRC, right, from there. You talk recently, I think one of your posts is interesting. This is kind of the religious debate in cyber. We consistently hear about compliance versus security. Are they one in the same? What's your take on this?
So I don't think they're one in the same necessarily, but I think they could definitely work together, right?
Yeah.
I think a lot of times a security team will think that compliance doesn't really do a lot to mitigate their risk and just slows them down. And they feel like if you have a poor relationship with your compliance team, if the security team doesn't have the best relationship, it kind of becomes an adversarial relationship, right? Where security feels like compliance is trying to find things, or internal audit is trying to like find things just to report, instead of finding things that they believe can actually help them reduce risk. So I think that's from an internal audit perspective at a big company, right? The other part of the debate becomes like, hey, I have a SOC 2, or I have ISO 27001. Hey, we're secure, right? You see a lot of that like out there as well.
Yeah.
And I think that also, I think security, the security community sees that, right? And they see their, you know, if I'm CISO at a big company, I'm trying to use a vendor, right? And I see they have SOC 2 and ISO, and they're like, hey, we're secure. I think that the CISOs of the these big companies are like, SOC 2 and ISO don't mean you're secure, right? Like, I think they like, there's that piece of it as well, right?
Really?
From that, I think that's what's driving it too. Because they don't understand how you can get SOC 2 or ISO so quickly and then all of a sudden claim you're secure, right? And they're probably right. I don't think SOC 2 and ISO are necessarily meant to, the intention of those frameworks and standards were not to say that a company is secure, right? That they were supposed to say a company is good at managing risk, right? Security risk, right? That doesn't mean you're secure necessarily. Nobody is actually secure, right? Everyone will probably get breached. Everyone's going to get breached. But how do you manage those risks appropriately? That's the whole point of these frameworks. And so, again, it comes back to risk management, right? Somehow it always comes back to risk management. It's funny how that works.
Right.
But I think that's what's getting lost here in translation, is that people think SOC 2 ISO, hey, I'm secure. Really, no, it's I have a framework that I follow that helps you manage risk. You can trust us with your data. That's really what it is. But we meet the gold standard in security. We're SOC 2 certified. Yeah, certification. We all know how I feel about that. But when you see that out there, it just sends the wrong message to the security community. So I think that's where this has come from.
Yep.
Those are the two places. You got that relying on a vendor that's SOC 2 ISO, and then internally at the larger companies, the security team feeling that compliance is like out to get them, right, and slow them down. So we need to like get rid of all that noise. I think it's just creating a distraction again, and we need to start working together and understanding each one of them has limitations, and we can help each other overcome those limitations. So.
Yeah, you just made a reference to one of your latest memes, Travis Kelce outburst yelling at Andy.
He said
Reid.
That. I actually read his lips. Yeah.
So he said, I can't remember. It was something about SOC 2 is not a certification, something like that, right?
That's what he said. Yeah.
SOC 2 is not a certification. So why do people say that? And why is that? Why does that matter? Right.
Why do people say it? Because they believe that it actually is a certification. I mean, I think that's why people say it. I think that's why they say it, because they don't understand that SOC 2 is really a derivative of a financial statement audit, right? You're issuing an opinion on a financial statement, and you're issuing an opinion on somebody's controls, internal controls, right? That's what you're issuing an opinion on. And so because you're issuing an opinion, an auditor, a CPA firm's issuing an opinion on whether the internal controls meet the applicable trust services criteria or SOC 2 requirements, we can call them. That's why it's not a certification, right? Certification is not an opinion. A certification is literally a certificate that says you're certified, right? But that's not what you get with an audit report. You actually just get an opinion that says you have the right controls in place to meet these trust services criteria. But who wants to say that, right? I mean, it's a lot easier to say we're SOC 2 certified and tell your whole company that knows nothing about anything and tell the world that we're SOC 2 certified. It's just easy to understand. So I don't necessarily even like, it's funny. And like, I've kind of built a brand around it again by accident. Like it's right. Something like, again, these are not things that like I set out to do. Like I didn't think anyone actually cared. You know, at the end of the day, it's obviously it doesn't, I don't want to say like it does matter, but at the end of the day, I understand what we're trying to do here. We're trying to mitigate risk. It's not, we should really focus on the nomenclature. I get
yeah.
That.
Gotcha.
And I understand that. Truly, I'm just trying to be funny a lot of times.
I love it.
And make a point. But, you know, it's built a brand, and it's just easier to say. I think that's why it is what it is.
Totally. One of my favorite memes that you had, I'm just remembering it, you know, because you were talking about opinion and then opinions. And I think you did the Jurassic Park meme with a you know, Nedry or whatever. And he's like, we got Dotson here. And he's like, they got a qualified report. And he's like, see, nobody cares. They think that's good. That was my favorite one. We'll pull it up on the YouTube. We'll pull these up. So
I do remember that one. Because like, because people think qualified's good too, right? So like we have that going on too. And it's just like, we laugh about it because like it is funny because it's true, right? Like this is what's happening in the world of vendor risk management.
Yes.
I think qualified's good. And it sounds good, right? You qualify for something. It's always good to qualify. When you unqualify, I don't know if that's even a word anywhere else in the world. Who unqualifies for anything?
I don't know.
No, I think the AICPA, I think accountants made up the term unqualified. Made up the word.
Yeah. I remember explaining it back in 2012, right? 2013. We did SAS 70s before SOC 2, you know, for like banks, a lot of times it's kind of what like SOC 1 is now, SAs, you know, whatever it is, right?
So, yeah, SAS 70.
Yep. Yeah. I remember doing those, right? And qualified. I was like, okay, I guess that means it's whatever. I don't know. There's lots of changes to standards, SOC, you know, FedRAMP, CMMC, GDPR. Do you foresee more and more standards coming out? Do you feel like it's going to change a lot, or do you just feel like it's?
How can we know?
It's just like speculation, right? I mean, who can know?
I mean, I think AI for sure. Like, right. I mean, I don't know if there'll be standards, but there'll definitely be regulations. I mean, you saw the EU already came out with, they have their AI law that I think goes into effect in 2025, I think. But it's already kind of on the books. I think it's been approved by all the member states in the EU, I think, have approved it. So there'll be like an EU AI Act. I think the US is definitely working on AI laws. So there'll definitely be new laws with AI for sure. Do I think there'll be security standards? That's a tough one, right? I mean, if it is to be driven by industry specific standards, that's where they all come from.
Yeah.
Unless we're talking about SOC 2 and ISO, right? SOC 2 is kind of general. It's from the AICPA. ISO's a general standard that came from ISO. So those are kind of general. But if you think about all the other ones, HIPAA, that's a health related law. HITRUST is healthcare related. Mm-hmm. PCI is credit card related. What am I missing here? CMMC is going to be DoD, Defense Industrial Base. FedRAMP is cloud service providers that work with the government. What other ones am I missing? GDPR is a law for privacy. I guess privacy in general is probably not industry specific. That's probably more general. So we're going to see more in terms of AI and privacy. There'll be some overlap with those, but anything standards related, in my opinion, is going to be industry driven. So if there's an industry that's lacking security, then their solution is always come out with a new standard and then force all their vendors that work with them to meet those standards.
Yeah. Employment acts for auditors.
Good for auditors. All this, is that what you said?
Employment acts for auditors, man. You know,
and lawyers.
Hey, it's good. That's right.
I've always said I wanted to go back and get my law degree because I just feel like, especially with privacy, the new SEC cybersecurity disclosures, you're going to need to have good lawyers to help protect you.
So. Totally. We think about that all the time, man, having legal counsel. We have some pretty good help right now, but that's so key. What are some of your favorite cybersecurity solutions right now? Like some basic ones that really get a lot done that you see, like if a customer doesn't have it, you're like, hey, you just use this or just use that.
You said solutions out there?
Yeah. Some of your favorite ones right now.
Some of my favorite ones, spreadsheets.
Yeah. I feel like I majored in Excel at school, man. I love it.
Well, I mean that I kind of say that being funny, but like at the same time, I think everyone thinks you need to like spend a ton of money on a solution to like implement a control. A lot of times you don't necessarily need to do that initially.
Yeah.
You could just be practical and great. Be like, okay, what are we trying to do here?
Yeah.
Well, you grow out of spreadsheets eventually as you grow. Yes, 100%. That's why spreadsheets don't work. They don't scale. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're trying to implement something initially, sometimes it can just be like as simple as a spreadsheet. So I would just recommend to people not to overthink and think you need the next fancy tool.
Yeah.
To implement a security control. A lot of times it can be very simple to start off.
It's kind of like an entrepreneurial principle they talk about a lot, which is do things that don't scale at first. Really spend time understanding the problem. And then once you understand it from there, you can look at other solutions. That's great advice. I love that. Okay. So we've got CMMC coming up pretty soon, 2025. We've got FedRAMP, which is always getting more and more traction. You know, there's a big bright career for someone getting into this space. I mean, there's so much opportunity. There's so much friction. People need help. I think it will always be a little bit of an enigma to those who aren't really interested in going into the source documents. What kind of advice do you have for younger individuals that want to pursue a career in GRC?
What advice? I would say don't be picky with your first job. Kind of going back to my theme, I didn't really have an opinion on IT audit when the job was in front of me. I just thought it'd be a cool experience to learn. And that's why I took it. I think some areas of GRC obviously are more more exciting than others in terms of people, you know, when people are searching for job roles, like they don't think of audit, like you said, like audit doesn't sound sexy. Why would I want to do audit? Well, we're proof that it could be a very good path into cybersecurity. Third-party risk management is not always the most fun to do either at a company, but I think that's always a good path in because you're trying to assess vendors. So it's kind of similar to audit, but you're not like auditing, but you're assessing risk of using vendors. And typically you have to understand their whole security program in order to assess that risk. So I think third-party risk management is a good area. But those aren't always the most sexy areas that people want to get into. So think about those areas. There are usually not as many candidates going after those roles, so they're easier to get into. And don't think that just because you took this first role that your whole path is defined. The key is learning and having experience and building off of that experience. It's not going to happen overnight. I mean, I've been in GRC for probably almost 15 years now, right? And I probably didn't start like really getting good at it till like 5 or 6 years ago. Unfortunately, that's kind of how it works. But if you have patience and you're willing to learn, just take any job in GRC. Start off. Like, you got to start somewhere. Don't try to find the perfect job. Just start. Because you might stop yourself if you're trying to. It'll be a bigger challenge to try to find the right fit because you don't even know what the right fit is yet, even if you think you do. So just start. Just have experience. Don't be picky.
Yeah, really excellent, Troy. Hey, thanks so much, man, for coming on the show. Really appreciate your insights. I think it was great discussion. And look forward to following you in the future, and we'll keep in touch, man, for sure.
Yeah, appreciate it. This was fun, Kenny. Let's keep in touch for sure. I'd love to continue the dialogue.
All right, man. Thanks, guys.